If you could only see how beautiful you are. It's an honor to be here. Your pastor, Reverend Emma, and I have known each other for a very long time. We've journeyed together for years. And most of that time, I have been not even in the area, but the connection has been pure and deep and spiritual and honest. And so it's very humbling for her to trust me with her beloved flock. Thank you for the gift of time you're given today. On February 23rd, on February 23rd, 2004, my mother died. Over the years, we had a roller coaster ride kind of relationship, so much so that I left home at 17 and never went back to the thriving metropolis of Junction City, Kansas, for much more than funerals and a few visits here and there along the way as my parents became more advanced in age. My younger brother and his family and three children decided to retire there. So all in all, everyone was pretty okay with everything until my mother began to grow more and more into childhood as a result of dementia and Alzheimer's disease. It was then I began to visit more often to check on Mom, and especially Dad, who had become her primary caregiver at age 91. It was during these times Mom seemed to be more lucid than my family led me to believe while I was away. For the first time in many years, we talked with each other like grown folk, not parent to child. Mom had such a fine mind and rich imagination in her younger years. And bits and pieces of this began to come together like a tapestry or a mosaic. Little by little, we were able to piece together the good and the bad and the ugly of our relationship over the years. And most importantly, I had a chance to look into those light tea-colored eyes of hers and say, "Mom, Mommy, I'm sorry for some of the things I had said and some of the things I did in the past that hurt you, Mom." And she forgave me, and I forgave her, and it was beautiful. During those times, I realized how much alike we were. Who knew? And it was beautiful. During those talks, I realized that we had missed so much and how the things that she taught me over the years helped me and my three children not to just make it, but to survive and to thrive during some very difficult times in my life. It was like we were meeting each other for the very first time. And then some months after I had gone home, after a visit with Mom, I got a call from both my dad and my brother that Mom was declining quickly and had to be put in a nursing home. At this news, I dropped everything and traveled back to Junction City. It was in the middle of the winter in February, and I encountered many delays on the way. But when I finally made it, Dad told me Mom had been telling him again and again and again that soon it would be my birthday, and she wondered where I was. Finally, I arrived. Mom rallied. We sang songs, we laughed, we acted silly, and played Speed Racer while I pushed her in her wheelchair up and down the halls of the nursing home. Up and down. It was like we had been BFFs for decades. That was 2 days before February 23rd, the day she died. February 23rd, my birthday. And I felt like a big chunk of my heart, my true identity, died that day. I wondered, who am I now? After all those years of separation and alienation, we finally came together, almost as one. And you, Mom, you had to die on my birthday. Who am I now that you're gone? That is the title of my message today, and I wonder if the BFFs, the disciples of Jesus, may have felt that way at the crucifixion of their sweet Jesus. During the rest of this message, with your help, we'll unwrap this together and see what answers to this question we might come up with. Pray. Dear God, I thank you and I praise you for waking me up this morning and me not wrapped in my funeral cloths and on my cooling board. I thank you for another day of life, and I thank you for the honor and the privilege of being a messenger of your word today. Oh God, as a lump of clay, I ask you to build me up, break me down, build me again, do whatever you need to do to make certain that I am a worthy vessel of your word. And these things I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. In the scripture for this lectionary period, of which one is Psalm 4, that you heard read earlier, it seems the repeating theme is about our failure to recognize God's work among us. In Acts, Peter declares that the death of Jesus happened because his fellow Israelites acted in ignorance. The psalmist decries the fact that so many people follow lies, yet God's blessing for the faithful continue unhindered. John tells his audience to expect that the world will not recognize them as God appears to his doubting disciples. He proves the reality of his resurrection by allowing them to touch his body and by eating food in their presence. Only then do they feel certain that they recognize him. Okay, all right. That was then, and this is now. I wonder what places in our lives today are places where we go about our business, not recognizing God's work among us. I don't know about you, but I can get so caught up in the stuff of my life, so wrapped around my own axle sometimes, that I even forget to pray. Look how long it took me to realize how many precious moments I had already lost with my mom. And only by God's grace were we given the time and space to reconcile and to resurrect the joy of being in right relationship with one another. How many of us find ourselves casting about after a loss and wonder how, if ever, we can put the pieces of our lives back together again? Our identities have shifted in unexpected times and in unexpected ways, and it's scary and it hurts. Where is God in all of that? Where was Jesus? whether you are having a mountaintop experience today or casting about in the wilderness. The following are seven clear answers with seven brief prayerful guides to consider where you might find yourselves asking, who am I now that you're gone? There'll be references to the other scriptures in the lectionary. It's okay if you want to unwrap them more or study them more deeply. I have them written down. It's not a Bible study, so it's okay. I just want to reference and let you know where these things are coming from. So, seven things. Number one, who am I? A child of God. 1 John 3:1-3. Dear God, help me to remember that no matter what happens, I am your beloved child. Amen. Number two, who am I? A person with plenty. Psalm 4. God, I want to experience the joy that comes in relationship with you. May I remember that you give me more than enough. Amen. 3 and 4. Who am I? A believer in miracles and a witness to God's power. Luke 24:36-48. God, may I be open? May I be open to the miracles you have in store for me and the world? And Jesus, please help me to know what it means to be your witness in the world. And my friends, when I first read this, I thought, what's happened to the miracles? What's happened to the joy of gentle surprises with so much swirling around in our world today? And something very simple came to me. You're still here. You're still here. And no matter what, we still have a choice. A precious gift that no living creature on earth but us has, to choose whether we're going to smile or frown or close the doors of our hearts or open them a little bit. And each and every one of us is custom made, I believe, for miracles. We're custom made for them. And nobody else can manage that for you, okay? It might be a miracle that you're stuck with your diet just one day out of the week. Amen. I think somebody's feeling me. It's a miracle as far as we're concerned, right? And so, who are you? Could it be possible that you can be a believer in miracles? 5, who am I? A faithful follower. What are some ways you can grow as faithful followers of Jesus Christ? Do you consider yourself a witness to Jesus' power? How can you manifest your faith? God is looking. God is speaking to you today. How is that happening? Choose a way you would like to increase in the faithfulness and record that. Now, once again, I have a place that I can live in my head that feels real good. It's away from any kind of, you know, getting down deep and being vulnerable or anything like that. And there was a time in my life when I thought, to be a faithful follower, does that mean I have to go out and tell people, you're going to go to hell if you don't believe in Jesus or anything like that. And I don't mean to disrespect anybody's faith tradition. To me, it's simple. Sometimes the simple act of choosing to get out of your bed and come to worship with others is evidence of being a faithful follower. And everybody has an opportunity to custom make what that looks like. Something as simple as saying, you know what? I blew my diet for 6 days. But that seventh day, I stuck to it with God's help. Is that not a testimony to the help you got beyond yourself? Simple things. Simple things. 6, who am I? A person who seeks to do right. Strong God of love, give me the strength always to do the right thing, to protect those who need protecting, and to show the love of Jesus in everything I do. Amen. 7. Who am I? A person who rests safely in God's arms. Ask yourself, what have been the hardest obstacles you've been faced in your life? Give thanks. Thanks for how God worked and is working in your life on good days and not so good days. It seems to me, though, we have these tips now. We have these prayers and scriptures and reading to help. Should we at some point in our lives find ourselves sitting in our own private gloom rooms? And in that space, we grieve over the loss that may have cut very, very deeply into our hearts. So deeply, my friends, that we can't even think about the who, what, where of our lives. Just the why of the loss. It is then I believe that in that hard place, that our heavenly parent can sit with us and scream with us and cry with us and rock and moan with us when there are no more words. Will not leave us or forsake us. It's not always pie in the sky, by and by. But here's the thing. Even in the gloom room, the sun does not stop rising every good morning. And as long as we have breath, hope can be resurrected in our spirits so that we can step out into the sunshine once again and live with the kind of joy that no one can take away from us. Because that tapestry, that mosaic, still lives in our memories in ways no one can ever, ever take from us. The disciples of Jesus, that motley ragtag crew, those men and women were eventually, they got up, got out of their gloom rooms, and got busy. Busy for the love of Jesus and for all God's children. Because who were they? They were children of God too. Just like you and you and you and you and you and you and you. They were children of God too. God's got you. God's got your back. And those gloom rooms, maybe you've never lived in one. And I hope you never have to. But even there, you're still God's child. Amen, ashe, and let it be so.